Hello and welcome to the Business Analysis Conference podcast. My name's Judy Rees and I'm here with David Taylor. Hello, David.
Hello, Judy.
David, tell me a bit about yourself.
My background is IT. I was IT director at Cornhill and in Allianz in Munich. And after that, I left to write a book, which became quite a successful book, a global bestseller. And I was very fortunate to be able to basically get into the world of coaching and speaking and writing. And the book was called The Naked Leader. And now I work with board-level executives of private companies, charities, and international organizations in the area of world-class leadership.
And The Naked Leader is, I think, the fastest-selling business book?
Yes, that's correct. It went from 9 million to number one on Amazon in just a few minutes.
That's pretty impressive. Speaking as the author of a book who sold less than 3,000, it's...
less than 3,000? Well, it depends how much less than 3,000 it is. I mean, 3,000 is not bad. I mean, a business book, Judy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a coaching book.
A coaching book. That's very respectable. That's very respectable.
And it's only been out since November. So who knows, maybe I could follow in your footsteps with the next one.
Hey, what's yours called?
Clean Language, Revealing Metaphors and Opening Minds.
Oh, how interesting. Oh, well, I'll send you a copy of my latest book, The Naked Coach, if you send me a copy of yours.
I'll do you a swap. That's great, thank you.
Right, OK.
Anyway, to get back onto the subject of this podcast, which is not clean language, though I wish it were, the subject of this podcast is really your talk at the Business Analysis Conference. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'm very excited about this because for the last 10 to 15 years, I've been obsessed by organizations around the world wasting money on change, on repeating the same things that they've always done, and on talking about doing things differently but not actually doing them. Mm-hmm. And I think that actually, whether we're in recession or not, what is needed is some actions, some real hard actions that cut through all the information and jargon and muddle that's out there that can be taken that work in any economic environment. And business analysts are at the heart of this. Mm-hmm. Organizations lack one thing more than anything else, and that's common sense, stroke simplicity. And what I'm going to talk about at the conference is how business analysts can take their place at the heart of an organization and help organizations map what's been missing, which is basically this horizontal process from idea to delighted customer, cutting through the silos, cutting through the politics, cutting through all of the vertical thinking that's been too prevalent in organizations and is coming back again as we move out of the recession, so that business analysts see this end-to-end process and people focus for once on the customer rather than what they're doing internally. And that's why I'm so excited to be speaking at this conference, because in conjunction with Warwick Business School, where I'm very honored to be the visiting professor of leadership, we've pulled together some pretty powerful stuff. And when I say powerful stuff, I'm not talking theory, I'm not talking graphs or charts, I'm talking about the specific actions to take.
That sounds exciting. So people coming to your talk will literally have a list of things they can do?
People coming to the talk will literally have a list of things to do. They will literally also have all their excuses removed as to why they're not going to do them. And they will also literally, I don't want to give too much away now, but because of something I'm going to do at the conference, and one of the first times I've done it, called The Deal, they will actually do them. They will actually see them through.
That might make some people a little nervous about coming to your talk.
Well, whether it makes them feel nervous or inspired, that's all very well. It doesn't really matter, does it? It's the results that matter. What gets me is that, you know, I have people who write to me every day and they say, David, you're such an inspirational man. Well, that's irrelevant. Inspiration is not a strategy. It's what you do that matters. I also have plenty of people who say, are very cynical about The Naked Leader. That doesn't matter. I don't care. It's what you do that matters. And everything comes down to results. So whether people feel nervous about coming or not nervous about coming, then it doesn't matter. I will provide them with the tools that will achieve the results that they and their organizations need. If they think that's useful, come, and if they don't, then go somewhere else.
And that could mean make a big difference for the business analysts themselves, and also presumably for the field of business analysis.
I believe, in conjunction with the organizers of the conference and everyone who stands up for business analysis everywhere, that the time is coming for, if you like, our core area, Naked Leader's core area, which is hearts and minds and people, to combine with process procedures and simplicity, as I talked earlier. So somehow, I don't know how we've done it sensationally well. In the last 20 years, we've made process and business analysis, quite frankly, so boring. I mean, wouldn't you rather have deep root canal surgery from your dentist without an anaesthetic than read another manual on total quality management? And I'm not quite sure why we've done this, but one thing we have done is we've made chief executives not understand what business analysis is. We've made the whole idea of process, largely because of the business process reengineering, which is probably the biggest waste of time and possibly criminal initiative we've ever had in the world, because it's wasted so many billions and hasn't delivered a single thing. And that's the words of chief executives, not mine. Mm-hmm. And now it's time, I think, to realize that actually you need both people and process, and it can be exciting. And change can happen fast. This myth that change takes ages is just ridiculous, and it's a consultancy-driven one. And business analysts can be at the heart of it, but it all comes down to what they do. In life, I believe one thing above anything else. We are our behavior. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what we think, it doesn't matter what we say, it's what we actually do that matters. So, as I said earlier, if you want some specific how-tos that have been developed from working in world-class organizations, ranging from Coca-Cola to Procter & Gamble, across the world from Abu Dhabi to Canada and to New Zealand, then I will share them with you without any jargon, without any meaningless babble. And if you don't, then go somewhere else.
That's quite a challenge.
It is a challenge, and it's quite a statement as well. And it's quite a... you said about people being nervous coming to it. I'm very nervous about this particular event because I see this as a real watershed for me, because I'm very fortunate. I tend to speak actually more outside the United Kingdom than I do here. I mean, the mm-hmm. tales of the Naked Leader abroad are just incredible. Mm-hmm. And I have invitations all over the world. And it's really great to be coming back to my own home to be talking to my, if I may say, the group that I respect most, which have grown out of IT. Business analysis traditionally, of course, grew out of IT. Mm-hmm. And now to see how business analysis has really, by default and by necessity, taken its place at the heart of organizations. Now it's up to individuals who are business analysts to take that place. And, you know, no longer be dealing at the humdrum levels of organizations, but to be networking at very senior levels and having a real influence on the future.
And taking companies from idea to delighted customer, you mentioned.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
That first idea,
which often gets squashed, mm-hmm. being developed and happening very fast, and focusing everything in the organisation around customers being delighted, customers being wowed, customers being gobsmacked. Not customers being retained. Retention is tying customers up and forcing them. Mm-hmm. The future is all about working in collaboration and partnership with customers, and again, I'll be dealing with exactly how to do that.
That is exciting stuff.
Well, I hope so, I really hope it's exciting. Thank you very much for saying that. It will be exciting, it will be inspiring. There'll be many things that people hear that they don't agree with, but all of that is great. It's whether the organisations add to their bottom line that counts. And I'm on a mission, and I promise you, and there's a few of us on this mission, and nothing's going to stop us. Organisations and business are going to become exciting again.
I was going to ask you why you'd chosen to speak at the Business Analysis Conference, but it's from what you've said, it goes without saying.
Oh, absolutely. I have no problem. I'm invited all the time and speaking at leadership conferences and... quite frankly, there's some quite frightening American conferences I've been to where people jump around and hug each other, and I'm not having a go at that. I think that's absolutely fantastic. There's something about business analysis. I respect business analysts so much because, you know, I'm known as this leadership person, and yet I actually see quite a lot of leadership coming across into business analysis and the important thing of process, repeatable processes. You know, mm-hmm. if organisations could just realise that repeatable, predictable processes are one of the key elements of success, then that in itself would get business analysis up the agenda. And I want fundamentally business analysts to have their status, their recognition and their profile raised in organisations.
And because a lot of business analysts wouldn't think of themselves as leaders or as people to be communicating at very high levels within organisations.
No, they wouldn't, and they'll just carry on doing what they've always done, and they'll never play a big part in the future. This is a personal choice, and it's quite an uncomfortable choice.
Mm-hmm. But if people are willing to take that step, then the opportunity is there.
Precisely. It's a bit like going back to the traditional role of the IT director.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask, people say, what does an IT director do? Well, ask two different IT directors. I know two people who have the role of IT director, Judy, who I spoke to yesterday. One sees himself very much embroiled in the technology, dealing with IT suppliers and security, viruses, and seeing himself as a provider of services to the organization. And that's fair enough, mm-hmm. if that works for you. The other is at board level. The other is sees himself as a business person, first and foremost. And when I asked him what he did, he said, my job is to get the best out of my people. And I said, what else do you do? He said, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no coincidence that the second one's at board level. Now, I'm not saying everyone. It's right for everyone. I'm just saying that if you choose to, you can have bigger influence. If you choose to, you can be seen as at the heart of the organization. Obviously, we need lots of people in organizations to do analysis work at a, I don't want to say hierarchically, but you know what I mean, a lower mm-hmm. level. I'm talking about appealing to people who want to stand up and be counted.
Mm-hmm. And with lots of business analysis people who do want to stand up and be counted, and some action plans and some big ideas and some inspiration, all kinds of things could happen next.
Well, what could happen next is that organisations can at last have clear visions about what they stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the sort of garbage that you get coming out of mission statements.
Mm-hmm.
They can have clear visions that are understandable by 10-year-olds, which is a tagline I use a lot. Go and find mm-hmm. a 10-year-old and ask them, tell them what the vision of your organization is, and if they look at you blankly, go and change it, because if a 10-year-old doesn't understand it, your customer won't. I'll tell you something else that will happen. People take ownership and accountability at a very deep level. Something else will happen is organizations will get what they've needed, and I mentioned at the start of this conversation, they'll get simplicity back, they'll get common sense back. I think, Judy, we should never underestimate the power of two individuals, maybe just one individual, to make the simple very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And the naked leader fundamentally is about common sense. I think the next thing they'll have is they'll find that they make decisions rather than talk about making decisions. So mm-hmm. meetings will be reduced. And, I mean, for example, this is one thing about organizations now. We love going to meetings. Meetings, meetings, meetings. I made a suggestion in a charity abroad in Abu Dhabi that they said has reduced their meetings by 95% in terms of the time they spend. And I'm going to share what that is at the conference. And it will reduce your meeting time, the time you spend in meetings, by 95% if you do this one thing. And I'll share exactly what that is to people who come along, and I won't with people who don't. And finally, there's a certain element of a lack of persistence, I think, out there. And that's because here's an irony about the quote-unquote recession. Everyone is now saying, don't take risks. And yet mm-hmm. it's risk-taking that's going to be one of the key deciders in organizations that succeed in the future and those that don't. So those are the sort of things that will happen as a result.
Magic. Well, I very much look forward to hearing your talk at the conference. And thank you very much indeed for sharing these thoughts with us now.
Well, thanks for your time, Judy.
Thanks a lot.